Hey guys, what up? It's your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio, and I've got some really interesting news to tell you guys today. Actually, a lot of different things to tell you, so stay tuned. We're going to get into this show, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Also, might be a little bit of a tearjerker, so stay tuned. Okay, we are back here at Sketchbook Audio, so I know that's weird. I'm doing the recording on Anchor.fm, which is where I host my podcast. So you were getting to watch not only me, but also this whole thing happen and go down. In the background, we got Marianas Trench with Stutter. I love that band. They're just very upbeat. And right now I need some upbeat. And I'm probably going to seem a little bit crazy because I've got some interesting things to tell you guys. So let's start with some automotive news. I know we haven't gotten any in so long, so it's been kind of like a drought in the automotive industry. But today marks the first day that the big three automakers were back at work. And while they're at a slow pace, basically a snail's pace with their production, they're kicking it off, hopefully in the best way possible. This whole COVID-19 thing is tragic. It's horrible. And it really hit Michigan hard, especially since their whole industry is the automotive industry. So now that they're back, they can start producing cars. However, while that's a good thing, the bad thing was they had to postpone, they being some of the big three and a lot of other automakers, had to postpone reveals of new vehicles that were scheduled to be revealed either last week, this week, or in the future. And those are live reveals. I mean, like up close with the media. That's just something that's probably not going to happen for a while. We're not back to a sense of normality yet. The other thing they had to push back was the actual building of these new vehicles. And some of those vehicles include the Mustang Mach-E, which I was really excited for, but that's being postponed by 2 months. I think there was a Ford F-150 electric or hybrid variant that was supposed to be revealed and start production. That's been delayed 2 months. I think FCA has a couple delays. They actually decided to switch, from what I've heard, they were going to switch from doing some sort of live reveal, like in person with the media, to some of these virtual reveals or just a big dump, a media dump on a lot of different websites, Allpar, Autoblog, Jalopnik, and just get people to do like a virtual reveal. These virtual reveals have actually turned out to be pretty interesting. Now, they're not quite like an auto show. You know, auto show has tons of people, a lot of money put into building these beautiful sets and just making everything very glamorous and exciting. So how do you do that in our times right now? And I've said it a few times on some other previous podcasts. I've said it on Facebook and on Instagram. Now's a really good time to explore things like that. And I think some automakers are doing it. Some automakers that aren't doing it quite as effectively, I guess, as one would hope. Certainly nowhere near the way a big auto show would really do it. They're going about it in a different way. And let's talk about some of those reveals, because today was a good day for Toyota. Now, Toyota actually has been working for most of this coronavirus, because most of the areas where they build these vehicles, they haven't had a big coronavirus hasn't had as big of an impact on those places as it has in, say, Michigan or California. California being spoken for, Elon Musk just said, do it, just send it. As we say at Fox Shocks, just send it. Speaking of Fox, what up? I wonder if any of my people from Fox are watching this. That would be really interesting and also mildly embarrassing. But guess what? You're not going to see me for 2 weeks. So I don't really, you know, whatever. We'll get to that later. That's a tearjerker. But anyways, the reveals from Toyota. One of them. One that I actually liked was the Toyota Venza. Do you guys remember the Venza? I'm going to post up some pictures of the OG Venza and then show you some pictures of the new Venza.
I gotta say, I like it. And I loved the original Venzo. It was weird. It was funky. It was that weird situation between a minivan, kind of like the Journey. But it just had a weird design. It broke the mold of whatever Toyota was really doing at the time. A very stagnant product lineup as far as design goes. Very tame designs. And then all of a sudden they come out with this, not the new Venza, but the old Venza. And it was like, holy crap, Toyota makes weird crap, makes weird things. You know, the FJ Cruiser was weird. All the Scions were weird, but those were kind of in their own thing and they were niche vehicles. So, but the Venza was meant to be something that the masses could enjoy and would enjoy. It was, hey, it's not a minivan. It kind of has the bulk of a minivan and definitely the cargo capacity and stuff of a minivan, but, or, you know, as close as it could get. You know what? Really quick about that. I know it wasn't a minivan. It didn't have sliding doors. But it did have a pretty bulky trunk. It had some really cool features as far as the middle seat in the second row. It slid and stored somewhere. So it was kind of like Stow and Go. The back seats stored somewhere somehow. It was interesting. And the front console was customizable to an extent. So it definitely packed a lot of room. The middle seats, too, were kind of like captain chairs. So they had a lot of adjustability. But the Venza was just different for Toyota, and it marked kind of a change in their design paradigm where they were going to be a little bit more edgy and creative with their vehicle designs and not so bland and boring as the Camry. And we can see now the Camry now is gorgeous. It's a great car. The XSE model, the sportier one, it's a really cool looking car, and I love the two-tone roof. So if you get like a black with a black roof with a white body, sexy car. And then to make it even sexier, it's got a red interior. That's awesome. A lot of red too. But let me show you the Venza while we're here. And you'll have to forgive me because my camera setup still is pretty lame. Okay, you know what? Phone cases sometimes don't make for great phone mounts. So this is the new Venza. And while it doesn't share anything with the original, it is different. It is unique. And I like it. It's a little bit Highlander-ish right here, but Toyota's using that motif in a lot of their vehicles. Really what it reminds me of is a cross between the RX from Lexus and a RAV4. RAV4s have this, but it's a little bit more geometric, very hard edge. This is really round and soft, more elegant. But then you get up to the front, and you start to see that spindle grille that is known in Lexus cars, which is fine in some applications, but I'm really surprised that Toyota is adopting that more and more, which blurs the line between Lexus and Toyota. I can't imagine people who own Lexuses are all that thrilled to know that, hey, Toyotas look about the same and actually are pretty sexy on the interior. Now, I know I said that this was the Venza, so why does it say Harrier? Well, the Harrier in Japan is Toyota's version of the Venza here in the United States. I will show you what the Venza looks like here in the United States. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Ah, here we go. By the way, this is autoblog.com. I love their site. They have a lot of good coverage of these things. So what they did here in the front is interesting. They took the Lexus grille and they added this divider. The Lexus doesn't have that. The Lexus has a nice, clean section there. So while this is trying really hard to not be a Lexus, I feel like they could have tried harder. Now, the Highlander actually does a great job of not looking anything like a Lexus. But this and a couple other vehicles I'm about to show you They're getting really close to that Lexus territory. And Lexus makes some beautiful cars, but a lot of people had a big problem with that spindle grille. I like it. I just don't like that Toyota is breaching that. And I'm sure some people who own a Lexus might not love that either. But it's not a bad looking car. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because this motif is something that I believe Dodge really started. Now, some people argue that Pontiac actually had, and even some Buicks had, some full-length taillights. Sure, back in the old days, 60s, 70s, even the 80s. And actually the 90s, if you think about the Pontiac Firebird, they had a full-length taillight. The problem is they just didn't all light up. But Dodge incorporated 157, if I'm not mistaken, LEDs into the back end of like the Charger, the Challenger. Challenger had fewer LEDs, but you get the point. The Durango, and now even the Pacifica has a taillight set up like this. And I love it, because you can tell that that car's got its lights on. It's a super bright setup. It looks nice, and it helps make the car look wider, which is a really nice feature. It's like a trick, the mind trick. You know, the car is narrow, but if you put a wider horizontal bar here, it's going to look a little bit wider. If you do some more design work, like for instance, the front end, by increasing the height of this grille, you're also increasing the idea that this is a thicker part than what it really is. So, and I like the fact that it's that sporty fastback look. So it doesn't have as much functionality as, say, the Highlander or a RAV4, but based on its length and its overall height here, it's probably got a decent amount of cargo capacity, but it still looks sporty. I'm just glad that they didn't call this the Venza Coupe, because I'm sorry, people, coupe is two-door, and just call it a fastback. That's fine. Call it a fastback. That's great. The Charger, technically, fastback. I can't call anything with four doors a coupe. But let's look at some other features here. Again, this is a motif that's carried on in the Highlander and the next vehicle I'm about to show you, as well as the RAV4. But of course, the RAV4 is very geometric. It's very hard-edged, whereas this is a bit more elegant, just as the original Venza was. Overall, I think it's a really nice design. I'm just a little bit teed off that this is what we're getting for the foreseeable future, is a saturated market of crossovers. And I had this conversation with somebody recently on Instagram, actually, of why this even matters in the automotive industry. And it's because it sells. But my argument was that why have this when you already have the RAV4, which is really spacious, by the way, and capable. I mean, if you think about the RAV4 Prime, that sucker is pretty fast and it gets great gas mileage. But then you have this, and you know, it bridges the gap, I guess, between the RAV4 and the Highlander. Whereas the RAV4 has two rows and a big trunk, the Highlander has a decent sized trunk but three rows. Okay, this slots in between by making the RAV4 essentially bigger and maybe a little bit more elegant. I don't know, but the interior is really nice. Toyota is doing a fantastic job of making their interiors extremely functional and quite elegant. I mean, in my RAV4, while this isn't real leather, it looked real. It felt real. I just knew it wasn't real. It was a synthetic leather. It was that Softex, which, by the way, is fantastic when it comes to getting dirt on it or mud or anything else. It cleans up really nicely and it doesn't stain. It's a good material. But I like this two-tone, this all black separated by this brownish orange. And interestingly enough, the RAV4 had a lot of actual orange. This brings it up more upscale, I think, by toning it down and making it a more subtle brown color. I like this shifter right in the center. There's no other buttons here. Nothing gets in the way. Your cup holders sit back here nicely. What I don't like, though, is that's the start button inside this whole cubby. What I would have liked to see this as at is right here, angled towards the driver, right here, like a badass pilot, on the shift knob, like the Mercedes SLR McLaren, or Mercedes McLaren SLR, I forget, AMG, whatever it was called back then, or just right here. They could have intersected all of this mess and just put a dot right here. Or they could have done what Alfa Romeo did and put a start button on the steering wheel. Either way, but it's a nice design. It's very good. It looks functional. I guess another thing I don't like is this massive floating touchscreen, but they did a really good job with everything around it and behind it. I'm going to forego that and not care. The seats are a beautiful design. These are really comfortable seats, by the way. And I like the texture on this. It looks very upscale. This, it's kind of like that pleating. And these are really good bolsters. And I don't know what these are, but I'm going to go ahead and guess are the heated and cooled seats. I see a little bit of red and I see a little bit of blue. So we'll go with that's what that is. And then more nice touches. This is probably not real leather, but the places where it could be are the places where you're going to touch it the most. So right around here, maybe up here, but I'm going to go ahead and think that this is a synthetic and not real. But they did a really good job with the metal trim. Overall, this is a really good design, and I like what Toyota did here. Now, let's get back real quick to what other things Toyota revealed all in one day. It was a big day today. The Toyota Sienna, the brand new one. Now, I know you're probably thinking, whoopity frickin' do, it's a minivan. Nobody cares about minivans. And while you're kind of true, kind of accurate, they sell really well. And they're one of the biggest sellers for FCA. Toyota and Honda are the only other two competitors that make minivans still. So they do sell well, especially considering they are like the dying breed of SUVs that just never caught on. These three companies know how to carry on the minivan torch. But let's look at these. So basically you have a sport model, the swag van, the swag and wagon, whatever they call that. Here's your two luxury models. And again, you can see first you got a little bit of the Venza in here, but more so they've bisected that spindle grille. Now, in this case, it's not as noticeable because you have a real small grille up here and this big massive one down here, which the Avalon, I guess, made popular. And now they've carried it on to cars like the Highlander, the Venza, and the Sienna. Up front, this minivan doesn't look all that bad. I like it. What I don't like is this weird transition, which, like I said, is kind of a hallmark to the Highlander as well as now to the Venza. And then this. It bugs me. It bugs me. If you look at the graphic here, so if just this shadow part, it's not bad. It's just all of these different line breaks. I'm not a big fan of it. But this does look like a massive vehicle. So there's that. This thing's probably going to carry a lot. It's not quite as bean-shaped as old minivans were. It's certainly not boxy in any way. But what I do like are these taillights. And I'm going to get to the sporty one first because while this is the more luxurious version, you get to the sporty one, probably the XSE, and you get this nice diffuser. No exhaust pipes down here whatsoever, but you get these cool taillights that are very similar to the Toyota's Prime, Toyota Prius Prime and the Camry. And I like that. There's a lot of design and detail that goes into that. It's a little convoluted in some of these areas, but it overall is a pretty clean and elegant design, and it's definitely sporty. Not a huge fan of the ruby red color, but overall a really nice design. And then on the XSE, you get some pretty nice color combinations. You get this dark gray with these reddish orange accents kind of like how FCA does it with their Trailhawk models, but they take it a step further and they give you this ski gray. FCA, if you're listening, Jeep, Dodge, whatever, if you're going to do an all black interior with just red accents, it's getting old. Throw in some other colors, ski gray, that brown, whatever. You guys have heard a million times me complain about an all black interior. It feels like a coffin. And ironically, I now have a car that has an all black interior, but they did such a good job with the red accents and the silver metal accents. Plus, it has a crap ton of LEDs in there for mood lighting. I kind of forgot about it being an all black interior. So, you know, ultimately, this is what we have now. This is where we're at. We're going to be seeing a lot of vehicles revealed on the intranets without there being any auto show. I kind of don't mind that because you don't – so if I'm just going on a public day, it's not that big a deal because you get to avoid all of the kids and the fuss and the anxiety that comes with that many people. I happen to like big crowds, but I can see how people aren't going to love big crowds right now, right? But showing it online is a lot like how when I would go to a media day, like I did in New York, Chicago, Detroit, and there's not that many people there. It's a ghost town, which is very nice. You get to go up to the cars and see them on yourself. Now I get to look at the cars here at the comfort of my home and not be bugged by anybody. The problem I have, though, is I can't talk to anybody about these cars. And that's what I like to do. I like to talk. I like to hear, you know, why this design cue came in here. Why, if I were to talk to the Toyota designers or the engineers, why'd you guys go with this styling? Why did you, you know, there's a brand identity. That's what I'll tell you is happening with Toyota. They're trying to make sure that there's a cohesion between all of their vehicles. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I just don't particularly like that, some of those design cues. I love my RAV4. It was designed very well. It was built very well. And it was different. It was like one of the first cars next to the Venza, the original Venza, that said, okay, we're not going to do cars like that anymore. We're going to try something totally different. If you love it, awesome. I'm sure you'll buy it. If you don't, oh well. So I'm glad to see Toyota is really stepping outside of the comfort zone of just selling a toaster. So that's good. And the Supra was a great job of doing it too. By the way, real quick nod to the Supra. Thank you for coming out with essentially blue flame on the Supra. Now I really want a Supra. I didn't necessarily want a Supra before, but now that I hear that the 2021 puts out more horsepower, there's a smaller, more affordable engine, and maybe a stick shift, I'm all giddy with excitement. All sorts of giddy. That's the automotive industry right now. I know it's still kind of slow, and nobody was really looking forward to seeing the reveal of a minivan, but we are starting to see some things come back to life, some of the auto industry, you know, picking back up. Oh, this wasn't necessarily a big reveal because it really has nothing to do with the United States yet, but Nissan did reveal their updated Kicks. Now, I haven't talked about the Nissan Kicks too much here online. That's because I don't like it. It's front-wheel drive only. It's got an anemic engine. It's got a CVT. Please stop with the CVTs, Nissan. I know you own the company that makes CVTs for, like, everybody, JATCO. But there are times for a CVT, and there are times not for a CVT. The latter should be more better represented. But I like what they did with this new Nissan Kicks. I'll post a picture of this. I'm not going to flip the screen right now, but I'll let you guys see what they did to this. This is the version that Thailand is going to get, and then probably I'm assuming Nissan's home turf, Japan, and maybe even China. They'll get to see this version of the Nissan Kicks before we do, but I like where it's going. I like that it's headed in the right direction, and it's a hybrid, so that's cool. And the interior is really sick. They did a great job of turning it like an econo box that I normally wouldn't give second look at to something that's actually kind of cool. So, you know, for kicks and giggles, I might actually take one for a test drive whenever they come to the United States. Before that, though, Mitsubishi needs to start
putting out some more vehicles so I can see those. The Outlander, it has a new model that's coming out. The Outlander Sport already got refreshed pretty heavily. I don't know when that new model will come out, probably late 2021, especially with COVID-19. But the Outlander, the full-size one, is taking a lot of inspiration from the Engelberg Tourer, which I thought was a really cool design. It's boxy. It's taking Mitsubishi back to its roots with off-roading vehicles, and I think it's going to be a big hit. I can't imagine them not bringing in an electric version or a plug-in version of that, so expect that as well. We're probably never going to see an Evo again, but if we do, it's going to be in a crossover form. We can't even get hatchbacks anymore, so what the heck? Somebody please make a good hatchback. Toyota, if you have to bring over the Yaris GR, do it. If you're going to bring over a Corolla GR, do it. If you're going to make, finally, please, dear God, the CHR have even 10 more horsepower, bring it over as a GR and add some all-wheel drive, a hybrid, and even a stick shift. That would be great. Yes, thank you. Because if you're going to make cars that everybody else is making crossovers, you got to add something to it. And the CHR has a lot to add in style, nothing else. Safety, it's okay. Their autonomous safety tech is subpar at best. And it's just slow. It's a slow car. But the Corolla is a lot of fun, especially since it's got a stick shift. It's 40-plus miles per gallon. Yeah, and the engine's not that bad. It's got some pep to it. But we'll see what they come out with in the near future. I've got to give you guys a little bit of a tour around my new car, which is a 2020 Kia Soul GT Line Turbo. I know I went to a Kia, but hear me out. It's not a bad car. The safety tech is awesome. The mood lighting is freaking cool. I'm going to score so, you know what? No, I'm not. I have a wife, so I don't need to score anything. And she's probably going to laugh at me when she gets in the car. She's gonna be like, yeah, you're like a little high schooler, you know? Yeah, kind of them. I only have 4 minutes left before I have to either change to another episode or stop recording altogether. So let me tell you, I got some horrible news today. I have to quarantine for 2 weeks and go get tested. Not for HIV, but for COVID-19. I know it sucks. I'm not looking forward to it. In fact, I had a song queued up here to, you know, really remind people how sad it is. So get depressed for a moment and then forget about it, because I'm going to be fine. I feel fine. I think everything is going to go great. This song is called Tearjerker by Fenix TX. I love them. I was supposed to go see them on tour, them and Zebrahead, and that tour got canceled. So it is a tearjerker. It's sad. Sucks. We're not going to be able to do concerts or Disney or Universal Studios or SeaWorld or anything for a long time. Quickly, speaking of SeaWorld, I'm saying this only because I love killer whales, but there is another video on, I think, Netflix or Prime. It's on Amazon Prime that basically follows in the footsteps of Blackfish. So if you're into that kind of thing, you love whales and sea life and protecting them, go see it and then give a nice big to Russia and China. If any of my listeners are from Russia and China, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with your government. Why are you allowing things like what happened here in the United States to our orcas? Why are you allowing it to happen to your orcas? Don't go to your aquariums if they're going to treat their animals like shit. And don't give them money to put animals on display for your entertainment. A zoo is one thing. Most of the animals that are at a zoo are there that because they're endangered and they're trying to bring back the species and protect the last remaining ones. They're helping animals that are, you know, wounded in the wildlife, and they wouldn't be able to survive otherwise. And they're just trying to rehabilitate them, but they're not putting them on display for, you know, them to do tricks. Anyways, that's all I got. We'll talk about sketching tomorrow. I'm going to do another episode. I've got some things I want to talk about as far as some techniques, and I owe you guys some color theory and some other techniques. So we'll do all that tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Don't worry. I'm healthy. I'm fine. But to anybody out there who is struggling with COVID-19, my prayers go out for you. We're in this together, and do not take the medication that Trump is telling you to take. Let him do it. Let him be the guinea pig. Till next time, till tomorrow. This is Ryan Sketch signing off. Be good to one another and go draw something.